Folks hereabouts say Brer Rabbit's leaving home. I say he's heading for trouble. Everybody,
look here, Brother Bear, this is going far enough. Now get down from that tree. We gotta catch this pet rabbit what's making a fool out of you. You know, Brer Rabbit, I think I'll have to hang ya.
That's all right, Brer Fox. Hangs me if you gotta. But please, please don't fling me in that dry patch.
WDW Radio,
your information station.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your Walt Disney World information station. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 465, and I'm here once again not only to help you have the best possible Walt Disney World vacation when you come to the parks, but I also want to help bring you a little bit of Disney magic wherever you are with the podcast, my videos, my live broadcasts on Facebook every Wednesday night, my books, audio tours, the blog, and more. You can find everything over at wdwradio.com. So I'm going to open up the inbox again this week and answer your questions about topics including hidden gems in the Disney parks, the best quick service dining in Disney Springs, bringing your pet to Disney World in style, dancing at Disney, cruising to Alaska on the Disney Cruise Line, and a very interesting discussion about Disneyland versus Walt Disney World. And of course, I want you to weigh in on the questions as well. I'll then have the answer to our last Walt Disney World trivia question of the week and pose a new challenge for your chance to win a Disney prize package. And a bonus? I'll then have more information at the end of the show about upcoming meets of the month and events and more, and your voicemails, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. As I come up on 10 years and 500 episodes of WDW Radio, actually, although I've been doing this almost 12 years, anyway, one of the segments I still enjoy most are those in which you are a part of the show and I get to help you. And I think one of the best ways of doing that is by answering your specific questions. And so this week, I am once again going to open up the inbox and answer your emails. And if I had to do like a top 10 reasons why I love listener email shows, first of all, you'd know that it would be more than 10 reasons, and there's a possibility that being able to answer them with Becky Mankin from MEI and Mouse Fan Travel may or may not make that list. In any case, I would like to welcome Her Highness back to the show.
Ouch.
That was really? All good stuff in there. I said you might make the list, and I called you... I'm sorry.
There's a pseudo compliment right there, and I have no idea why. Well, whatever.
I always forget. Is it Your Highness, Your Majesty, Your Eminence? You change it up all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I won't even go there. I do have something for you.
You really literally have a shirt on it that says "Kneel before Zod" that you walk around with. And
ow.
Listen. All right. We have emails to get to.
Before you start, I have something I need to point out to you because I think I have figured something out. I have cracked the code of Lou Mangiello, just so that you know, because I know the root of the whole eating thing. I think I know where it came from, because I'm visiting New Jersey as we speak, and I was brought this breakfast sandwich that is called the New Jersey Special.
That better be slang for pork roll, egg and cheese with salt, pepper, ketchup on a hard roll.
You know what? pretty darn close, but this one includes like hash browns on it. And
No, wait.
And so basically you're telling me then every single town has its own version of New Jersey special.
Well, the pork roll, egg and cheese with salt, pepper, ketchup, and a hard roll, that is just, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be done. There are different machinations and derivations of it, but I will tell you, Becky Mankin, that one of the reasons why in less than 24 hours, I'm so excited to get on a plane to go to said New York City for our e-ticket adventure cruise is just so I can eat my way. I'm going to be like the Cloverfield monster eating my way through New York City. On the list, pork roll, egg and cheese, a bialy.
What?
You don't even know what a bialy is?
No. What's that?
All right. Listen, stay with me. I will show you, my young Padawan. A knish. But you got to get a knish from like the Dirty Water hot dog guy, and then you have to get a Dirty Water hot dog too. A real New York lean over the paper plate, drip down your arm, slice of pizza, and maybe a sushi burrito if there's time.
A knish. I didn't know a knish was a real thing.
A potato knish? Oh, it'll change your life forever.
Because that's all. How many stretchy pants do you have with you?
That's what I miss about the Northeast is the food. Because you come down to Florida and I say I want a really good bagel, and they point you to the. Forget it. Listen.
Happened here is I figured you out. This is how the whole food thing started, because this thing was handed to me. It is huge. It is dripping in cheese. It is way too much food for four people. And
four people.
Now I get it.
Four people. That's not shareable. You're doing it wrong. Anyway, listen, the food is great, but we have questions that we need to answer. We've got lots of them, so much time and so little to do. Strike that, reverse it. The first question comes from Joe Maniachi. How about that name? From Detroit, Michigan. Go Lions. I mean, go Giants, but anyway. Hey, he goes, hey, Lou, I am a former CP, that's college program to you and me, who loves listening to your show. Your knowledge of hidden gems around property is amazing. Here's my question. My wife and I have a one-year-old daughter who we'll be taking to Walt Disney World for the first time this fall. In Becky's mind, she's like, that's the time I need to avoid because there's young children there.
I love children. Stop
Whatever.
It.
Joe says, I don't know much, but I know I love you. No, I don't know much about the WDW Radio Meats of the Month, so I was hoping you'll have some information for us when we come down this year. Do you know the dates yet? How far in advance do you know them? How large are the meetups, and where are they typically held? That's like a Lou Mangiello question with 9 questions in it. And bonus question, he says, as a CP back in 2006, my time was not spent partying at Vista Way, but spending every possible minute exploring the little corners and nooks and crannies of Walt Disney World property. Some of my best memories are finding the quiet places to myself, insert bird background sounds here, and just soaking up the atmosphere. I know from listening that your favorite quiet place in Epcot is outside dining near Katsura Grill, but I'm curious as to what other places you found that you consider hidden gems in the Magic Kingdom, around the Monorail Resort area, and at the Epcot Resort area. Thanks. God bless your buddy, your pal, Joe Maniachi from Detroit, Michigan. All right, so first things first, WDW Radio Meets of the Month. I have been doing since January 2007. If you have never attended one before, they are casual meetups in Walt Disney World and sometimes land and sea and everywhere else in between. We just had October's Meet of the Month. I don't have November's planned as yet. It's a little crazy with the cruise and with Thanksgiving, but I always have them on property, sometimes in the parks, sometimes outside the parks in case you don't have a park ticket. You can come by yourself. You can bring the whole tribe. Even if Becky's there, it's safe to bring your children, I promise you. How large are they? They vary. And sometimes people come and go. I usually try and stay there for a couple of hours. We've had meets where we've had, and I'm ballparking 150 people show up, especially like marathon weekend and stuff like that. And sometimes it's smaller. There might be 20, 30 people. And it's just a great way, not for you to come and meet me, but really I do it so I can meet you, so I can look Joe in the eyes and shake his hand and give him the handshake and the hug and hear your story and thank you for allowing me to do what I do. And Little secret, I do it so you, Joe, can meet other listeners as well. And it's been great to see the friendships and the relationships and the marriages come out of Meats of the Month. And if you want to find out when and where they are, and they are always, have been, will be free, you can go to the events page at facebook.com/WDW Radio and RSVP and let us know that you're coming and spread the word and invite a friend. How's that, Becky Mankin?
That wasn't bad. It was a pretty good explanation. And there's so much fun because you do get to meet the people that you see that converse with you on the Wednesday night shows. And seeing people in person is so much more fun because then you can put names to faces and you hear backstories of where they're from and what they do and what they like. It really is fun to meet everybody.
The line for me starts to the left.
No. So what happens is I'm the warm-up act. I'm the person that's trying to entertain people while they're waiting in line for you.
Stop it. So. Listen, he's got real questions. We got to give him real answers because I dig this.
Maybe we should set up a fast pass.
I hate you so much. I love the hidden gems, right? Those places in the parks and the resorts to sort of get away. There are things that you'll see on the map, but you don't necessarily notice. And what I mean by that, Becky, are they're not attractions. They're not shows. They're not things to get in line or fast pass for. But some places just to sometime sit back, relax, have a snack, and just watch the people go by. And yes, you are right. Sitting amongst the bamboo and the lanterns and the waterfall outside Katsura Grill in Japan is possibly my favorite of all of those places. But he wants to know some of those hidden gems. We'll do them one by one. In Magic Kingdom, around the monorail, and at Epcot. So in Magic Kingdom, a lot of the ones that I have loved over the years have been disappearing with some of the new additions. For example, one of my favorite places when I was working on some of my audio tours and trivia books was there used to be a bench outside of Tinkerbell's Treasures around the right corner, right by the exit door for Peter Pan's... right by the exit door for Mickey's PhilharMagic. And why I loved it was because it was in the shade. And those exit doors were always open, so you were outside, but you had a constant flow of air conditioning on you the whole time. They've taken that away. Important. It's a source of the Magic Kingdom spot now. I will tell you, some of the places I like going in Magic Kingdom are the seating area just outside Friar's Nook. That used to be the old Snow White gift shop. I love it because it's in the shade. You've got a great view of the carousel. You've got a great view of New Fantasyland. You can hear the people on Mine Train. Who am I kidding? There's pot roast mac and cheese right there. The lunching pad seating under Rocket Tower Plaza, again, I like because you get that beautiful view in the shade of the Avenue of the Planets, and there's food there as well.
One of my favorites is the train station. Just being up at the top of the train station and looking down and people watching down Main Street.
I know why you like that. Because you can't actually get onto the castle. So that's as close. You get to stand above all of your minions and look down upon your kingdom. Do you do that?
Oh, geez. I just walked right into that.
Do you stand like Leonardo DiCaprio at the bow of the Titanic and just open up your arms and like, these are my people?
Seriously?
My loyal subject. Do you have a throne?
Right into that.
Do you like sit on the bench your throne?
All right, this is what happens.
I so need to get a picture of you doing that
for so long because you are like getting 4 months of built-up tension.
Can we do me a favor? The next time we're there, can we get a picture like Jack and Kate, like you leaning over like the bow of Titanic?
No.
And get somewhere to like, I'll get you a little princess crown.
I haven't even heard it. I'm going to say no.
Okay, let's go to the monorail resorts. We're having too much fun and not getting to the question. Sorry.
Can I just do my other one? And I know what you said was not an attraction, but I like the people mover. And I also like hanging out on Tom Sawyer Island. Just, again, a place to sit and soak in the atmosphere and the quiet and don't make fun of me. I like that. It's really
when
nice.
When you say hanging out, you mean renting out so they get all the children off first?
Are you done yet? Really?
I'm just getting started, sister.
You know, we're going to be together for many, many days starting tomorrow. So therefore,
it's
be
good
nice.
That I'm getting it out now. I understand. All right. So let's go over to the monorail resort. The first thing sure. I thought of is over at the Grand Floridian. I love sitting, in the lobby of the Grand Floridian. But for me, my little hidden hideaway is not on the lobby level, but on the second level, on the elevator side. There are a few really comfortable couches there. There's also a small outside terrace. So if it's not too hot out or in the evening, you can sit out on the terrace. There's maybe four or five small tables there. I've done a lot of writing and working there before. I think I did a live video broadcast from there a few years ago. You look over the Seven Seas Lagoon. You look over the pool area. But if you are sitting inside, what is really nice is that you have the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra right there and food and cocktails at the at Meisner's Lounge. But it's very calm. It's very soothing. It's very relaxing. It's a nice place to sit by yourself and work or think or, you know, sit with a couple of friends and chat. And having the lobby music there, especially like during the holidays, is really, really a nice little place. And it's never crowded upstairs.
And I was going to say the holidays especially. That's a great place to hang out because you have the characters come in and out and around and the smell of the gingerbread house.
The
it's
scent.
So good.
The scent of the gingerbread house.
What? Okay. Same difference.
All right. Over at the...
You owe me so many beverages.
Listen, you know the amount of grief I give you is directly proportionate to how much I love you. So
you must really, really love me today.
Over in the Epcot resorts, there are so many secret little hideaways. I actually do not want to give them all away because there are a few that are still like Star Trek VI. They're like the undiscovered country.
See, that's what I was going to say about Magic Kingdom, where you're saying, oh, they're slowly disappearing. No, you're telling people, and then they know where to find you.
I didn't say I told them all of them yet. Sorry. But at Epcot, there's a few that I still really, really like, and there's a couple of very, very small nooks and crannies, whether you want to relax, work, people watch. I love the comfy chairs and the couches over at the Beach Club lobby, especially the ones over by the window. I'm going to speak your language, Becky Mankin, because if you can't find her overlooking her kingdom, you will probably find her in the Cruise Cup Lounge.
Yeah, probably.
You're like, of course, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. They have great sunken treasures there.
On the boardwalk side, I love sitting outside on the second level upper deck, overlooking the lake and the grass, especially in the spring and the fall when there's a nice little breeze. And once again, to bring it back in Becky language, the Bellevue Lounge, the only thing they're missing at the Bellevue Lounge is food. Mm. Otherwise, it's a really nice place. And I love all the old games and the radios and the music that's playing in the background.
And yeah, I like sitting out on the terrace there too, because you can people watch and have your beverage and enjoy the music. And again, around the holidays, that's a great place to hang out too, because the tree is right there in the center courtyard area. It's just a great place to relax.
I agree. All right. So my buddy Michael Steinmetz, who I believe still lives out in Lost Wages, says, "Hey Lou," and of course Becky, "back on show 364, you and little Timmy Foster did your top 10 quick service restaurants. It was a great episode, but I know that restaurants and menus are constantly changing in Walt Disney World. My question is this: are there any new must-eat quick service restaurants? I know Disney Springs is getting tons of new restaurants, and my wife and I want to eat well on our upcoming trip this fall." Oh, you'll eat well, my friend. "Thank you for all you do. Hopefully when you come back to New Orleans, hopefully you will come back to New Orleans. We missed you when you were here last. Thanks, Michael Steinmetz." All right. So, Michael, I'm going to try and answer this question quickly because you know this could be an entire show for me. I'm going to give you my top three. Top three new quick service restaurants in Walt Disney World, in Disney Springs specifically.
Okay.
Oh, you said quick service. Curses.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah, it's quick service. So
I will tell you, the Morimoto Asia has the street food out in Disney Springs. I love, repeat in big puffy letters, love Morimoto Asia. Also, the Daily Poutine, which are like two of the most amazing words squished together as one, poutine on a daily basis. The Daily Poutine, which is located over by World of Disney, is, listen, as if you needed to make French fries any better, you put gravy and cheese curds on them. Ay, sweet, fancy okay. Moses, that's a good time in a cup right there.
Is that what poutine is? I'm in so much trouble right now.
I don't even know you anymore.
I have never had poutine. You keep talking about it.
Wait a second.
Keep saying,
wait,
I'm going to introduce you to poutine, and you
we
never
went. We went to mine and what now my kids, like one of their favorite cities in the world, which is Vancouver. Not that it's the home of poutine, but they had their share of... You did not have poutine while you were there?
I was working. I was.
You were
was
sitting right next to me drinking your face off. Who are you kidding? I'm working.
I don't remember. Wait, I don't remember
my
having
poutine. My cocktail is not quite sweet enough.
I remember you having poutine.
We did. Oh, listen, we have to go back. Maybe
well,
we
yeah.
should, maybe we should go back to Alaska just so we can have poutine.
We can have a poutine meet before the next Alaska.
See, now you're speaking my language.
Okay, see?
Although that's not really the home of the best poutine, and I know those of you in Quebec and Toronto might be saying, we have the best, and I will go on my poutine world tour. But I will tell you that the poutinery and the Morimoto Asia street food are two poutinery? Of my favorites in Disney Springs.
Wow. The poutinery.
There's a poutinery.
That sounds serious. That's like some serious stuff right there.
B.B. Wolf's Sausage Company. That's a good time right there, too.
Haven't seen that.
What are you doing? You never don't. You know what? Don't even say anything.
I'm
working. Don't say anything. So there you go. And if you, listener, have one of your favorites that you want to add in, do me a favor.
Have one.
You do?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Because cupcakes are food, right? What?
Cupcakes are, I guess, if you are six, cupcakes are food.
Well, yeah.
Or 60, it doesn't matter.
Dude, seriously.
Cupcakes are food.
Sprinkles is pretty awesome. You got to admit. That place has some pretty rockin' cupcakes. And an ATM for cupcakes.
So I will tell you something. What? I have not had a Sprinkles cupcake.
What?
I have not.
You, of all people?
You know me. I'm more of a... Listen, I would rather go over to... I would rather have a... Wetzel Pretzel, who am I kidding? The poutinerie is right there. I'd rather have a poutine than a cupcake.
But live a little. Get a little sweet side in you, would you? That'd be awesome.
Morimoto Asia street food. They've got
frosting.
These like bao tacos. Like
bacon
the pork
on top of cupcakes.
They have a chilled sesame lo mein. And you know what I like most about Morimoto Asia street food is... Say you're there late night and you're walking around. Maybe you Becky, I'll speak your. Maybe you've had a cocktail or six and you want something to eat. Morimoto Asia street food is a really nice. You overlook the water there.
You know, I'm thinking that what we could probably tell Michael to do is just go to Disney Springs and hit those food trucks.
You know what? You can do the food trucks. That would not be where I would send you first.
Really?
Disney Springs.
Okay, maybe not first.
Is become a culinary destination. Something right. You could not have said about the old Pleasure Island downtown Disney.
Right. And sans
Art
the,
Smith.
The bubble
Listen,
dancing machine.
Boathouse. And if you're still hungry,
yeah.
Boathouse.
Boathouse. But it's quick service. We're still talking quick service. So that's why I was thinking the food trucks, because that is a quick service
You've seen
location,
me eat.
Right?
Lou dining is never a quick service experience.
Yeah, because they have to call out for more supplies to make more.
I've
stuff,
already called the Disney Magic and let them know that I'm coming. So
yeah.
Banners is stocked. All right,
awesome.
Let's move on to All Rob right. Melton from beautiful downtown Anaheim, California, home of the Anaheim Angels and Disneyland. He says, hey, oh, he starts off by saying thesis, colon.
Oh, this can't be good.
Oh, I like how he laid this out. Thesis, colon. If you only have one day to visit Walt Disney World, which park would you visit and why? He goes on to say, backstory. I like how you do this, Rob. Hey, Lou, I'm Rob Melton from Southern California. I'm a fairly new member of the community and love the podcast. I was referred to the show from our mutual friend, Frank Cassano. I love Frank Cassano.
Oh, Frank.
A.K.A. Frank from Texas, who I think is
love
now
Frank
from Scotland or UK or somewhere in the European world. With big shout out to Frank, Ashley, and little Frankie. He says, my wife is graduating this year with her bachelor's degree. So as a graduation gift, I'm taking the family on the WDW Radio podcast Disney Dream Cruise next June. Yay! Insert rounds of applause from the audience. That's the double dip. After checking out the timing of the cruise and our current schedules, I think we might be able to squeeze in one day in Walt Disney World immediately after the cruise. Mm. I want to know, which park would you recommend to visit for someone who has never been to Walt Disney World before, and why? Now, I assume that your answer is going to be Magic Kingdom, but here's the curveball to the question. We live in SoCal, and D-Land, DCA are literally in our backyards.
Uh-huh.
Does this information change your outlook as well? Thanks for all the great information. Look forward to the response, and I look forward to meeting you next June, if not sooner. The double dip. Two. Count them, two. Becky Mankin stops at Castaway Key.
That's going to be awesome.
Super, stupid excited for that.
It'd be better if it just docked overnight. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm telling you, they are going to figure out how they can do that one day. And they're going to go, I remember when Lou Mangiello said that back in 2016. And
to be able to say that you were right?
Yes. Just once. Just once. Okay. All right, but his question is, so he's never been to Disney World before.
Uh-huh.
He lives right by Disneyland. What park would he go to if he only had one day? I'm going to let you answer this first because I'm curious as to your response. I know exactly what my answer is no matter what you say.
I'm going to have to take that cue of taking Magic Kingdom off the table because if you go to Disneyland a lot – while there's some really good things that are different, I'm going to take them off the table. I would probably lean to Epcot because if you could only pick one, especially if they're adults, between the food and if you love space and want to experience the centrifuge, that's there too, which you're not going to get in Disneyland. Because the only two, if you think Animal Kingdom experiences that you can't have at Disneyland, but they do have San Diego that has the safari, that type of thing. And I know I'm reaching, but in Hollywood Studios, maybe after all the new stuff is open, I think I have to go to Epcot.
So, counselor, let me ask you this. If I turn the question around and said, uh-huh, I live in So Orlando and Walt Disney World is in my backyard, I only have one day to go and visit Disneyland. Do I go visit Disneyland or California Adventure? What would you say? Right,
okay.
you're gonna tell me to go visit Disneyland, right?
No, I'm gonna tell you to go to California Adventure.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
you are not gonna tell me to go visit the original park where Walt walked to compare and contrast the Disneyland experience versus the Magic Kingdom experience.
I get that. However, over at California Adventure has one of the most
cozy cones. I'm sorry, forget they have cozy cones.
Detailed lands in the United States.
Cozy
Cars Land was one of the most amazing, eye-popping, eye-opening lands that they've ever done. And to miss that, I think
so
I would
Cars
go to California
Land,
Adventure.
And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm challenging. I want you to Cars Land to you trumps the overall Disneyland experience for somebody who's never been to either?
No. Okay. So because I guess part of it depends on who we're talking about here, because if it is a big Disney fan that really loves the history and Walt and all of that, it is more important to walk in Walt's footsteps. It would be more meaningful to them probably to see the lamp in the window. It probably would be more meaningful to see the things that were originally created for someone who really loves that, that history and that piece of it. If you're looking at someone who really may not have a connection to the history and they're just looking for a really different experience and seeing something else that Disney has done, I would still go to California Adventure probably after the new Marvel stuff, the tower turns over to Guardians of the Galaxy. But I'm still kind of there. But so like I said, if this person is really into the Disney history, then yes, you're right immediately, because any huge Disney fan that understands the legacy of Walt and wants to walk in his footsteps and look up at that lamp, you've got to go there.
So to turn it back around to Rob's original question, he's mm-hmm. going with his wife to celebrate her bachelor's degree. He's taking his family, so I'm assuming that there's children in there. I don't know what age. Rob, I have to tell you, I'm going to stick by my guns and say I think that you have to go to Magic Kingdom first. I think it's almost a rite of passage, excuse me, for a first-time visitor to Walt Disney World. I think the first experience that you should have should be walking through that portal under the train station, turning the corner as you come through Town Square, and getting the reveal okay. of the castle.
Right, but wait a minute. Turning it back around on you a little bit, too. And I it's not that I don't agree with that, but tell me, the next question would be, so what is the experience going to be like that is so much different than what I see every day when I go to Disneyland?
If I have to tell you, Becky Mankin,
no,
how the experience is different in Walt Disney World than Disneyland,
I'm asking you, you're out of order.
This whole what?
I'm asking you to answer the question for the people who are listening right now who might be going, why would I want to go all the way across the country and go into a park that's essentially has the same type of experiences? So I'm asking you to answer the question.
It's familiar,
Counselor,
but very different. It's familiar, but look, I think I will tell you that the first time I went to Disneyland, I was meeting some guy friends there. I had gotten there the night before. I checked into my little Best Western across the street. I'm like, I've got some time to kill. I'm going to go over. I will tell you, and I am, you know, man enough to say it. When I stepped foot onto Main Street and I stood in the center of Town Square in the shadow of Walt's lamp and I looked down at Sleeping Beauty Castle, I wept. I did.
Yeah.
I cried. I think
you're the person I'm talking about, the person who connects to that historical
piece. I think, look, I know Rob. I can feel it from Rob. Rob is going to go there with his wife and children. They're going to turn the corner in front of the confectionery and they're going to see this grand and miraculous, not spaceship, a grand and miraculous castle. And I think they will have that same experience. And they will stand there for no less than 10 minutes looking down Main Street, comparing the size, the scale, the color, the architecture, all the things that are similar yet so very different. And then I think they're going to be, as they walk through, and almost get, in a good way, disoriented because things aren't where they're quote-unquote supposed to be in Magic Kingdom versus Disneyland. And okay, they explore lands that don't exist, like a Liberty Square, like a Storybook Circus, like all the things that are just different than here. I don't even mean the individual attractions, but I think the overall experience itself.
Okay, I'll granted that, especially with kids, because I was coming at this from the adult thing, because for some reason I was picking up on him and his wife, but not the kids. That could change it, because Epcot's not the best place, in my opinion, for kids when you have all of those choices. But this is a really interesting question, as you can tell, because we can easily, for a Libra such as myself, it's easy to go from one side to the other because there's pros and cons for both sides. I think the ultimate answer should be figure out a way to have more than one day at the
Book that for you. I can make that happen.
We can make that happen for you. Give us a call. We can make sure that you have at least 3 days and you can hit four parks.
Now, just for argument's sake, if I was to take Magic Kingdom off the table, because of where it is right now in terms of construction, Hollywood Studios would be lowest on the list. Depending on the ages and interests of your children, I could, as a former recovering attorney and litigator, I could make a strong argument for Disney's Animal Kingdom to be second, although not in the summer. I would probably go, though, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, DAC, and Hollywood Studios in order.
Yeah. Okay. I would agree, but depending on, I guess I would have to ask him more questions as to what the experience they want to have is. And after you've asked those questions, then I could transpose Epcot to Magic Kingdom or reverse. But it depends on the ages of the kids. And again, how connected they are to Disney history and how important that would be to have that.
And you, my friend, the listener, who is either in the car, on the ferry, at the treadmill thing, whatever that is, or wherever you might be listening to the show. If you agree, disagree, have a different answer, I would love, love, love to hear it. Email me, lou@wradio.com. Better yet, call the voicemail with your answer to this question, 407-900-9391.
You do know that...
407-900-93... That's 407-900-WDW1. Bang.
And it's not the size of your castle, really.
You know what? I'm just going to let that sit right there. It's what you do with it. All right. Hey, Lou and Becky, it was an honor and a pleasure meeting the two of you while working at the happiest place on earth. I know exactly who this guy is without reading any further. We were in Disneyland just a few months ago eating a corn dog at the aforementioned Main Street USA. Right. I was spending an inordinate amount of time trying to film a video. And
isn't that like your fifth corn dog?
Don't judge me. What's his name? Jake was there. So he says, hey, sorry I interrupted your corn dog dinner. Do not apologize, my friend. But I couldn't let a chance to meet you go untaken. Completely made my night. Jake, man, it made my night too. Anyway, I have been wondering, what are some of the benefits of a Valley resort? I'm planning for a trip to Walt Disney World later this year or maybe early next year. And I'm curious about the quality of food, entertainment, transportation, etc. of the values. I want to get a great resort experience for my first trip ever to the world. And I'm wondering if I can find that in the values. Oh, Jake, just let me get to my meat. This is going to get my hands on this question. Thank you for your help and for your podcast. Your friend, Jake Schachtel. Jake, thank you, brother. I hope to see you again when I come out to Disneyland for the expo with Becky Mankin in June. But let's get on. Now, Becky, I know this is tough for you to answer because they are it's like you trying to talk about Jupiter. A place that you've never been before is a value resort.
I have stayed at every single value resort, so
I have driven by every value resort and waved at the peons. No. So, really? Jake, I'll tell you.
I am so exasperated right
you
now.
You love me. I love the value resorts, right? And I think, value resort does not mean that it's any less of a truly magical, wonderful Disney experience.
Right.
For years, Pop Century was the place that I would, especially when I was traveling from New Jersey, I would go to and stay. I think right now Art of Animation is brilliantly done. Mm-hmm. It does not feel like a value resort. I think it's like a moderate light or a value plus, whatever you want to call it. And I think that you do get all the things that you mentioned. Quality food, there's entertainment there, there's easy transportation to the parks. I think it's oftentimes a smart way to travel because you could save money for other things like food and mm-hmm. snacks and then dessert and souvenirs and then food. A lot of times, especially when you're traveling to Walt Disney World, your resort experience can be a shower and a bed. And folks, showers, remember, not optional, especially in the summer. The ease of the access to the parks is one of the many reasons why you stay on property. But at a place like Art of Animation, the Landscape of Flavors food court, which we've done a live review on, I will pull it up or put it in the show notes, is, I think, possibly, maybe I should need to do a top 10 food court review, is possibly one of, if not the best and most various, has the greatest variety of options in their food court. There is entertainment there. If you go and check in, please, please, please go into the lobby. I think he's still there three times a day. My buddy, an amazing Disney artist, Jason Zucker, is in the library. He is in the lobby giving drawing lessons. So you remember the old, you used to be able to learn how to draw over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. He does that in the lobby every day for free. And whether you are visiting the resort or staying at the resort, he will teach you and your kids how to draw. You get to walk away with something. I think it's incredibly well-themed. There's ease of transportation to all the resorts. I think that, to me, Becky, is the way to do it.
Well, it's interesting because value, moderate, deluxe, it's like flavors of ice cream or wine or beer. It comes down to personal taste. And what you put enough value on to spend money on, for example, like you said, the value resorts, they're just as magical. It's still Disney property. You still have a lot of great experiences within that resort. Some people prefer to spend less money on their accommodations because location may not be important to them. They just want a place to sleep and grab something in a food court and jump in the pool, but they're going to spend most of their time in the theme parks, right? Others may prefer to go to a deluxe resort because they want to just jump on a monorail and get right to the park. And they do want those added conveniences and maybe a larger room because they're going to spend more time at the resort. So I personally think it just comes down to personal taste and what you put value on for where you want to spend your money. And any of the resorts on property are going to be a good choice depending on what is most important to you for your stay.
Show number 399. Nine times. 399 was the live review of Landscape of Flavors. And if you do spend time at the resort, I can easily make an argument as to why Art of Animation is one of the nicest places to stay in terms of the theming of the resort, all the icons that are there. And I will put their pool up against almost any other pool on Walt Disney World property. Where else can you hear music underwater? Don't
point. Well, I can't say somewhere, but it's not going to be on Disney property. Another thing too to keep in mind is they are priced or stated as value moderate and deluxe a lot depending on its location. So if you don't mind spending extra time, or some people go, you know what, I don't really want to spend that extra time in the buses, or I don't want to have my own car, I'd rather be right there. That's how one of the benefits of having one of the different categories as well. But again, I really do enjoy the theming of the value resorts, and I'm all in there with you on Art of Animation because it is so well done and the icons on the outside of the buildings are so much fun. I think that they did a really good job with them.
Trivia question. What is the name of the main pool at Art of Animation?
It's a pool.
And if you sing it, I'll give you extra credit.
You want me to sing? You really want... How about you?
In the big blue pool, we're going to go explore. In the big blue pool, no? And look, there's the other thing, too, in terms of maybe you want to spend a day outside the parks. There's a lot to do there. So a lot of times they have the movies outside, the movies under the stars. You could rent a Surrey bike there, which I don't know if you can do at any of the All-Stars. I'm still a geek, so I like the arcade. There's the arcade. There's playgrounds. There's jog. If you're a runner, there's jogging trails. I think it's almost like a mile and a half trail there.
So Pop Century to you. What's your opinion over there?
So Pop Century obviously was the original, half of what was going to be
right.
I feel the same way. But I do think that Art of Animation is just a step above for all the reasons we just gave Pop Century. But that being said, I also do like the theming and all the retro stuff that Pop Century has in it.
Okay.
So, all right, let's go to Chris. Chris, he's like Madonna, has no last name. He says, Lou, I've been listening to your show for quite a long time and really enjoy it while I'm driving home from work. My question is this. Are there any options available for staying at Walt Disney World Resort with your pet? If not, what options are available? He's not a small dog. He weighs about 60 pounds. That's like a big human. We've never had him in a kennel and he stays inside. So he's house trained. Thanks for your help, Chris. Chris, I think it's cool, man, that you travel with, he's not like traveling with his pet iguana or like his bearded dragon. He's traveling with a 60 pound dog. Becky, correct me if I am wrong. Unless it is a service animal, you cannot bring a pet into a resort. I think Fort Wilderness may have some different, possibly might be different there, but, I will tell you that I have brought my pets to the Best Friends Pet Care, which is over by the Port Orleans Resort. It is It is like the Grand Floridian for pets.
It really
it's
is.
Almost like, and I think it's, and I might be like 20,000 square feet of indoor, and there's outdoor space as well. There's a dog park. They've got like 40 or 50 like well-trained like pet care providers. And it's, look, I get it. It's like your child, like entrusting someone with the care of a member of your family
it's
that
your
you love.
Yeah.
It is something very serious and something that you worry about. But I will tell you, and Becky, you know what? You know why? If Becky was to be reincarnated as
where the heck are you going
wait
with
a minute,
this?
Because if you have, so for dogs, they actually have VIP luxury suites. Those are Becky's three favorite words in the world, mushed together as one. You can get for your pet a 200.
What are you trying to say?
Listen, wait, there's more.
Oh, no.
There's a 226 square foot suite that includes potty walks, two playgrounds, a flat screen TV, a webcam so you can watch little Rover, bedtime stories, I kid you not, and after 3 days, it's like going to the spa, they give him a bath.
Wow.
There's also vacation villas, a little bit smaller, 72 square foot. It includes one potty walk, a playground, a flat screen TV, and a turned down biscuit. I'm reading this from the site. I'm not kidding you. But there are indoor suites and outdoor suites. That's if awesome. You have a cat, they have kitty condos. You can get a two level, or if you know you're really rolling, you could do a four level condo for your kitty.
Nice.
And you know, we were kidding before about the bearded dragon, but if you have a bird, a reptile, a little rodent, right? You can actually bring pocket pets in
they
there as
to
well.
Be called hamsters. Not,
sorry?
Not rodents. They prefer to be called hamsters or
I'm reading
mice.
From the site. The American Zoological Pet Friend Association of America calls them rodents. So, and they base the rates on the size of the enclosure, small, wow. medium, large, or extra large. Look, I will tell you, I brought my cat there. There are a lot of things. They don't just sort of put them in a cage and leave them there. And I'm don't laugh, because if you're a pet lover, you'll get this. There is playtime and play groups and cuddle times and ice cream breaks and, you know, activities. They do a lot with them, so it keeps them active. There is a salon there, so if you want to do a little bit
You're really getting into this, aren't you?
I am. I'm getting excited. I want to take my cats there just so I can go back again. But if you want to, you know, give them, you know, have them washed or do a flea treatment or a mani, I'm not kidding. They'll do like kitty mani petties and stuff like that. You can do it. You can go and visit the best friends pet care website or call 877 the number 4 WDW pets.
Okay, well, that's awesome. And as a pet parent, I totally get that. And nobody really wants to leave their pet anywhere because they're your kids. So I do have some other options, believe it or not. You're correct. On the Disney resorts themselves do not allow. However, in the Disney Springs area now, I keep saying downtown Disney. I cannot get that out of my head. There's a couple of options there off property. If you really don't like the idea of kenneling your or putting them in a how many foot
did I
spot?
Mention that they have cuddle time? I want to go there just awesome. For the cuddle time.
So the Sheraton Lake Buena Vista does allow pets up to 60 pounds in the Disney Springs area. So does the Hyatt Regency Cypress Gardens, which isn't too far away. Both of them are right in that area. That one is up to 50 pounds, I believe. And what you can do is take your pet, have them with you overnight, but then you can do the daycare over at the Best Friends pet care location too, so that they're not by themselves in the room. Four Seasons allows pets up to 20 pounds, which is right there on property as well. And then one other it's the Lowe's properties that is over at the place that you won't ever let me talk about, but they do
the place that the light doesn't touch.
Wow. Anyway, they, Lowe's properties have always been very pet friendly, and they even have room service menus and little blankets and all kinds of turn down services for your pets over there too. So if it's something that you really want to have your pet with you, it's another option. You would just have to, of course, drive over to the Disney property, but you have some options for those who have larger pets. And I think the first phone call I would probably make if you didn't want to kennel them is the Sheraton Lake Buena Vista, since they do have that option for up to 60 pounds.
Everything the light touches
what?
Is our what? Kingdom. But what about that shadowy place? That's beyond our borders.
You know
you
what?
Must never go there, Simba.
Your secret's safe with me, Mongello. Your secret's right. safe with me.
Listen, we a couple
can't
more
wait
questions.
Till I write a book about
we
you.
Uh-huh. have a couple. Listen, we're gonna hit these quick.
Yeah, sure.
Next question.
Let's see if that's actually.
I know,
possible.
Not gonna happen. All right. He says, "Dude!" Exclamation point. And that's whenever. And I know exactly who this is because everything that I write on Facebook, he just writes, "Dude." We're going to be coming down at Christmas time and at the end of February. Nice. It's a delayed honeymoon for my wife and I. Congratulations. We got married in June, but didn't want to come down in the heat of summer. Sing it, brother. I know how you feel. We'll be looking for a place to go dancing, and I'll hope you can give us a lead. Oh, you're talking my language, brother. I'm guessing someplace in Disney Springs. I listen to you all the time. I am currently binge listening from episode one. Yikes.
Oh, no. That's a
thank
lot
you
of
for all that don't listen to episode one. It's 6.5 minutes of terror. You bring back and for all the tips and what to do when we are down there. In February, we're going to be down there with my son and his family with 5 grandkids. Take cool. care. Dude, Dave Levin Sr.
Dude.
Focus, dude. Dude, focus. So we will not talk about Lou's Cavaricci stays in Hoboken, but
it is truly magical to watch Lou dance.
But listen, you are asking, where can you dance in Walt Disney World? You know what I'm going to tell you? Anywhere, brother. You dance anywhere you darn well feel like it, during a parade, with the characters, over at Club Villain. That's the beauty about coming to Disney World. You dance whenever it moves you. You hear music you like in World Showcase with some of the live entertainment. You go dance out there. You're never going to see most of these people ever again. This is your chance to go and dance on the sidelines during a parade or dance with... I'm not kidding you. That was my first answer. I know that's not what he was looking for, so I'll get to the actual locations, but that's what I'm telling you, Dave. I don't care if you're Dave Levin Sr., the 3rd, or the 18th. Take your grand... I'm going to get choked up. You take your grandkids by the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you dance with them on the sidewalks of Magic Kingdom. Now, if you're talking about, you know, getting down with your bad self... I would then go in the evening to Atlantic Dance Hall, which which unfortunately or fortunately is, it's never really crowded there, but it is a beautiful venue and a great
and
place to go dancing.
I never understand that because it is one of the only places that you can formally dance. It's our music.
Dance Hall,
it's our
right
80s,
on the side
90s.
Of the building.
What? It's
it
what?
Says Dance Hall right on the side of the building.
But nobody goes there. Nobody I don't goes. Understand why. Why do you think?
It is a hidden... I think that is a
hidden gem.
You know what? I'm going to find a way to introduce or bring people to that venue and to
should.
That experience.
Why don't we have a meetup there?
No, you know what? You know
dancing
that there's... You know there's an idea that I've had for a long time.
Yes.
That's where it has to happen.
Ooh.
Get on that. That's where it happens. I'm thinking of wait a minute.
People always wondered how we come up with this stuff.
I'm going to tell you something. That's going to happen in 2017.
It will?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it may or may not be the 10th anniversary of WW Radio.
Oh, that's perfect. Boom. Isn't it?
That being said,
I know
Dave
we're talking
Levin
about after
Senior.
We're done recording. Okay, go ahead.
Atlantic Dance Hall.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the hidden gem to end all hidden gems.
What's that?
A place that, Dave, I'll bet you probably have never even heard about. I would probably bet dollars to a dozen and a half donuts that you've never stepped foot in. But if you really want to go dancing, and I haven't been there in years, Rick's Lounge at Coronado Springs is the hidden gem of Walt Disney World. If you are looking for a wonderful nighttime adult lounge experience with music and dancing, there's TVs on one side, there's private rooms, there's food, there's amazing cocktails as well.
Dancing?
Dancing.
I've missed the dancing.
Dance how you feel when I feel. Yeah, I listen.
Where did
DJ Lou is about to like go wicka wicka wop all over again.
I had no idea there was dancing there. It is one of the best lounges on property.
Yep. And then if you look at like late night, like the after party is usually in Becky's room. And I'll tell you, the only way to gain access, you knock three times, pause, knock twice, pause, then say off with their heads and she'll let you in.
Wow. I changed the password just so you know.
All right. One more quick question. It's not going to really be a quick question. But I'm going to save this one for last because I saw a word in there that got me all excited again. And that word was not necessarily buffet. Derek Spear says, hey, Lou, so my parents love their grandchildren so much. How much do they love them? They love them so much that they decided to take us on a Disney Alaska cruise.
Those are the best grandparents.
If you didn't
ever
think your grandparents loved you, Disney Alaska Cruise is pretty much proof positive.
That's
having
the bar.
Having never been on a Disney cruise, we have questions. I've got answers. What is the one must-do activity on board and excursion, both with little ones, 4 years old and 1 year old, and adult activity? I'm hoping the wife and I can sneak off at least once. May the magic be with you, Derek Spear.
Wow.
So, Derek, I'm going to answer this question with a single quote from a wise elder statesman. His name was Han Solo, and I'm modifying and paraphrasing. It's good. All of it. I love, 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 love the Alaska cruise. Becca, we have taken many, dare I say too many, cruises together. I'm kidding.
How can you possibly have too many cruises?
There's no such thing. I still believe that in terms of destinations, there's nothing like an Alaska cruise. It is my
kids.
Is this
the one where I say I told you so? Because I remember when I said, Lou, we need to go to Alaska. And you're like, I don't know.
I never said that.
Yeah, you did.
You just said, I'm not going when it's cold. So
wait, what?
But the destination, we have said before, and it's true, the ship and the destination, especially now with the Wonder being reimagined, is the attraction. And we can sort of go on. And look, that's why I announced on the show without your knowledge that we're going back in 2018. And you're still mad at me for that.
Do you know how many days you put me to work just without one sentence?
But
my entire world was spun upside down. Yes.
So, all right. So what is the one activity to do on board? And what is the excursion that they can do with kids and adults as well?
Wow. One?
That's hard. That's really hard.
You can't do just one. That's the hard part. On board.
Because each, and I think you're, and I'm going to, because Tracy Arm and Skagway and Juno are three, you know, look, sometimes when you go on like a Caribbean cruise, but the islands can sometimes, you know, they're different, but some of the activities, I think Tracy Arm and Skagway and Juno are like visiting three different planets.
Yeah, it is. And the 1 year old is kind of throw a monkey wrench in the system of what the normal Alaska must bucket do list excursion is. But all right, where are we going first? Are we going to do excursion or are we going to go on the ship?
For excursion, I will tell you.
With a 1 year old.
With a 1 year old. I will tell you that going to the glaciers was nothing short of breathtaking.
Yeah.
It is
up
an
at
experience.
Mendenhall. You're talking about the one that we drove up to at Mendenhall in Juneau.
You cannot experience that anywhere else. There is nothing else like that. And we tried to articulate this in the past that you can see pictures, you can hear us talk about it, but there is something about stepping off the bus and walking a little bit towards that view of the glaciers, and it's still and it's quiet. And you look, I'm not a big nature guy. I mean, I like to eat the plants and animals in it, but I'm not really, But when you stand there and you have this sense of, I'm not to get all, but you're sort of your place in the world and you're, and just how small we really are and how beautiful this really is. There is nothing, still to this day, I have never seen anything like that ever, anywhere.
It's pretty amazing. And Mendenhall Glacier is the only one that you can actually drive up to like that from an excursion point of view. So that's actually, it does kind of nail it for the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old because it's easy to get to, the whole entire family can go to. You can just stand back and go to the visitor center and admire the beauty that is nature. It also has all of those trails that you can go winding around into some of the back areas. And if it's the right time of year, you can actually see bears that are kind of eating and frolicking around in that area. But you're safe because you're on a lifted up platform. And there's park rangers that are there all the time spotting and watching the bear as well. So you do have that ability to do as much or as little and still be immersed in the nature that is Alaska, which is the reason that you're going to Alaska to begin with.
And I think
that's a good choice.
And I think too, look, I think in any Disney experience, there is an educational opportunity as where mm-hmm. there. And I think not just as a parent for your children, but I think for us as well, you know, especially here, I just wanted to be a sponge for to learn as much as I can. And look, it's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to see it and experience. Yeah. And even when you are in Juneau, you can, when you go to Mendenhall, you can also learn, you can go like to the salmon hatchery and there's like hands-on mm-hmm. activities for kids. What's nice is that after you see the salmon, you can go eat the salmon, which is even better. The little salmon, we didn't get to do that. They have like the salmon outdoor like campfire feast of mm-hmm. salmon-y goodness.
If you can find a crab feast, those are even more fun. Those are really amazing because you get in competitions and they bring out all these crab legs like crazy and you stack up the crab legs and whoever's highest wins. It's kind of fun and nuts and laughter and flying crab.
Fun and nuts is I thought you were describing yourself. But all right, so what's the one onboard
wow.
thing that they should do or
this
see? Either collectively
hard.
As a family or
yeah. this
as
is
adults.
Hard, but I would say make sure to see the shows. Because the children will love the shows on board. And I'm thinking all kinds of things between Pirate Night. You can't miss that if it is Pirate Night on board the ship because sometimes they do change it up. But I think making sure to take the family and enjoy the shows because they are Broadway quality shows. They are wonderful for the families and nothing like watching your little kids' faces light up when they see their favorite characters, which then takes it to the character greetings. Wow. Remember what they do in the lobby with all of the princesses, mm-hmm. the princess greet? I watched, you know, this little, probably not more than 4 or 5 year old girl just in her, I thought her head was going to explode seeing all the princesses and she got to go from one to another, to another, to another. And her mom was glowing. It was just a really neat thing to see. So don't miss that.
As for, look, as adults, and obviously you can do this, and I will tell you once again, the first place I ever entrusted my kids into the care of someone else was on a Disney ship. I think maybe you're going with other members of your family, but if not, if you are comfortable with putting your kids into the kids club and the nursery, I would absolutely treat yourself to an experience at Apollo, even if it's just for an hour or two, whether it's for brunch or for dinner. I would absolutely, absolutely do that for you and for you and your wife.
A nice romantic Apollo dinner. Right by the window. Oh.
And grandma and grandpa are going to be there too. So you got the built-in babysitters, which is nice.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you for your opinion. So if they could only get away just the two of them together one time or the four of them, would you recommend dinner or brunch, Apollo?
You know, there's no wrong answer to that question.
I know.
But I do like brunch. I do like brunch because I feel like I'm getting, like I'm sticking it to the man because I'm getting breakfast
getting all your
and lunch. And you can really, like, you can draw that meal out as long as you like. And I think it also gives you, too, an opportunity. You know, look, I will tell you that I do like, you know, and this is something that we've just lost over time. I like dressing for meals. I like getting dressed up sometimes for dinner. Getting a little bit dressed up, you can get a little bit more casual, I think, at lunch. But I think, too, the views from the windows in Palo during the day are just spectacular. And if you're looking for a memorable experience, that's what I would do.
I was going to say, especially during the day on an Alaskan cruise, because you're going through those tight channels and you can see the some of the glaciers way back in the back if you're going up through the Inside Passage. That really would be a wonderful experience.
I agree. And it was so good to quote Jack from Lost, we have to go back, Kate.
I was so lost on Lost.
Oh, I love Lost.
Sorry. It's just one of those things.
Go
I
back and watch it again. It's on the Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the Netflix. So.
All right.
So that, listen, Becky, that is going to do it. I would love to hear from you, the listener. If you have thoughts, opinions, additions, criticisms, whatever it be, about some of the questions that we've talked about, whether it's an activity that they need to do, a place to go dancing, if you have brought your pet to Walt Disney World and maybe have some advice that we didn't think about, where is your favorite quick service restaurant in Walt Disney World or some of those hidden gems? I would love for you to share those. Lots of different ways you can do it. You can go to wdwradio.com, click on this week's podcast episode, leave the comment there. We'll keep the conversations going there. If Facebook is your thing, if that's your bag, baby, go to facebook.com/wdwradio. Would love to have conversations happening there, and or call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. Be heard on the air. And if you want to go and experience any or all of these by yourself, with your friends, with us, your WDW Radio family, please go to mousefantravel.com. Becky and her team will give you not just the pricing, but they'll give you years, dare I say decades worth of advice, and the best possible prices, all at no cost to you over at mousefantravel.com. And be sure to tell them that you heard about it right here on the WDW Radio Show.
Absolutely, because we want to know that
someone's,
you know,
listening.
You're actually, yeah, pretty much.
Is anybody out there? Is anybody listening?
I love it.
And Becky, I look forward in it. We're hours away from getting board the Magic for our
and you're not even
ticket.
Packed yet, are you?
I'm
you
not packed.
You are not packed.
Literally, like, we are hours away from setting sail on our e-ticket adventure. I've known about this for a year. I have not started packing as yet.
I am so excited for this. I was just looking over the manifest and the names of the people, like, taking us back to the beginning of the show. I haven't seen some of these people for a good couple of years in some cases, and I can't wait to get us all back together and have a beverage and hang out with people for 6 days.
It's and the cruises are a testament to what I've said for 10 years, is that we are friends whether we have met yet or not. So a lot of these people are repeat cruisers, people that we've met through the show over time. There's new people coming that I'm looking forward to meeting and becoming friends with, like IRL, and eating at Cabanas with, and all the things that are going to come from it. and so that's, you know, if you have maybe never cruised before, or you've never cruised as a group before, I can tell you that there's nothing, and this is not me trying to sell our cruises, but I can tell you that cruising with a group of people, knowing that you have something in common, and if that commonality is not just a love of Disney, but, you know, the fact that you guys all listen, Becky, you know, it's amazing to see the friendships and the relationships that people that are coming on this cruise met on cruises before, became great friends, and now come and cruise together. And that's just some of the beauty of what this community and this family that has become out of these.
Yeah, and they travel together to Walt Disney World, and they travel together to Disneyland, and they do runs together. And it's really neat to see those friendships come together. And there's just such a fun feeling of, I guess, to put something kind of to rest, because a lot of people go, well, you know what, I haven't really met anybody in the community. I don't know anybody yet. The group cruises are the best way to go, because you don't have to do everything on the schedule. You can pop in and do the welcoming thing. You can decide not to do something, however we really want you to be there, but you don't have to be. So you can do as many of the group activities or as little. You can be comfortable meeting new friends so that you have people to sail with next time. And it's such an amazing thing to be around like-minded people, and you have something in common already because you already love Disney.
And I will tell you that people are like, what's your favorite destination? When we do these group cruises, the destination doesn't matter.
Right.
I love doing it for the people. And this year, I am so excited to introduce something new that you nor anybody else has seen before.
No, don't tell me there's something that you haven't told me.
It's Disney Match Game. Insert campy, cheesy 70s music here.
Aren't you?
I
thought you like had that queued up there.
I am not packed because I spent a day writing questions,
no.
Some of which may or may not have Becky Mankin's name in it.
No.
This is going to be fun.
No.
We are going to have fun.
The adult version, right?
And listen, for those of you who can't join us on this cruise, I still want to take you with us. We're probably going to record something there. Definitely do me a favor. Turn on your notifications on Facebook or Twitter. I'm going to try and go live once, twice, thrice, however many times I can while we are on the cruise from New York to Puerto Rico, maybe even from Puerto Rico or New York. We'll have to see. So please do me a favor. Facebook.com/WWRadio or I'm Facebook.com/Lou Mangiello and follow me on the Twitter at Lou Mangiello, and also be sure and follow Mouse Fan Travel on all their social. Becky, I need to go pack. I need to get on I'm getting on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again, but I cannot wait to see you in the NYC.
I've missed you. I can't wait to get everybody back together. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I have missed the Disney magic as well.
Yeah, thanks. at Becky Mankin, by the way, too, just so you know. Because I'll be telling all kinds of stories, backstories about Lou Mangiello on my Twitter account.
It's time for our Walt Disney World trivia question of the week, where I invite you to test your knowledge, not just of Walt Disney World history, but sometimes in the details in what you see and sometimes in what you hear, maybe even in what you eat. And if you think you know the answer, you can enter for a chance to win a Disney prize package. Before we get to this week's question, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week I was in and talking about and always excited about Epcot Center and was talking about Mouse Gear, the largest retail store in any of the Walt Disney World Resort theme parks, located inside Innoventions in Future World. But that wasn't always known as Mouse Gear, and your question was to tell me, what was the location's original name? Once again, thanks to the hundreds of you who entered and got this one correct, because you know that Mouse Gear opened in 1999 as part of the Millennium Celebration, but originally it was known as the Centurium, and when it was open, it was actually a two-floor shop, and then was converted to one story when it opened up as Mouse Gear. So next time you're in Mouse Gear, look up and you'll see that there actually used to be a second floor up there, even though the size expanded from about 13,000 feet to 19,000 feet, incorporating some space that was originally used as the Epcot Discovery Center and the Epcot Pole Theater. That being the case, it doesn't matter if you got that part right or wrong, because I took all of the correct entries, randomly selected one, and again, you were playing for the 102 Ways to Save Money for an at Walt Disney World book, the WW Radio Magic Band cover, all seven of my virtual audio walking tours of the parks, which are available on the WW Radio shop and iTunes, some WW Radio stickers, and because it's Halloween, I also threw in the insulated WW Radio hot and cold travel mug. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Irene K. So Irene, congratulations. I do have your address because you did use the online form. I will get your prize package at you right away. But if you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So this week was Halloween, and I love Halloween. It is one of my favorite holidays, and it's not because it's about the candy or getting to dress up as your favorite superhero, or in my case, Ewok, which I only get to do once a year and an occasional Saturday night. But really, I think it's such a wonderful opportunity for parents and kids to have fun together, and for us, no matter how old you are, to be a kid again, even if you don't have kids. And I think sometimes being able to put on a mask and pretend to be something or somebody else or something super is a lot of fun. And nothing seems to matter on Halloween, right? It's not about, there's no religion, race, color, beliefs, left, right, black, white, yellow, purple. We're all just a bunch of people out having fun. And it's a time when we literally and figuratively open up our doors and our homes to strangers we may have never met before, even though they might live right next door or down the street. And we give with no expectation of anything in return. We go out and we spend money for no other reason than to make other people, these strangers, smile and be happy. And we laugh and we joke and we play together and we are incredibly kind and generous to everyone we meet. Halloween kind of brings out the best in people. And sometimes I wish every day was a little bit like Halloween. Didn't mean to go off on a tangent. You only care about the trivia question. So, of course, it has to be Halloween related because I love it not just out in the world, but in the Disney world. And one of my favorite parades in Walt Disney World, I'm not usually a parade guy, is Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade. And the quintessential, my favorite part of the parade is when the Headless Horseman comes riding down through Liberty Square and Frontierland and down Main Street USA. So your question this week is to tell me, in what animated short does the Headless Horseman appear? And by animated short, I mean what Disney animated short does the Headless Horseman appear? Again, you're playing for the book, the tours, the Magic Band cover, the stickers. I will also give you a travel mug, but I'm going to give you a bonus question as well. You don't need to answer this one in order to get the prize package, but here's a bonus question for you. Because tell me, what was the name of the Halloween-themed event? It was a hard ticket. It was another hard ticket event that was held in the Magic Kingdom in 1979. It was held one year, only in 1979, and then a few years later, Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party debuted. So tell me, for a bonus, what was the name of the Halloween-themed event that took place in the Magic Kingdom in 1979? If you get the bonus question right, I'm also going to send you a WDW Radio t-shirt and a WDW Radio iPhone case. So good luck and have fun. That is going to do it for this week's show. Thank you again so very much for listening. I sincerely appreciate you and the time that is so valuable to you that you choose to share with me. Again, quick thanks to some new members of the WDW Radio Nation family, including Eric Bach, Megan Eichner, and Chauncey Friend. I sincerely appreciate you and the fact that you help to support the show and the community. And if you want to find out how to get exclusive monthly rewards like scavenger hunts, our private Facebook group, personalized Magic Band cover, backpacks, t-shirts, logo gear, monthly care packages from Walt Disney World, exclusive live video group calls, and more, you can please visit wdwradio.com/support. Also, don't forget that the purge of my Disney collection is still going on eBay. New auctions begin and end every Sunday night at wdwradio.com/eBay. Again, Sunday night, 9 p.m., new auctions begin and end. I have cast member materials, documents, books, maps, attraction scripts, theme park merchandise, pins, artwork, vinylmations, and more. Also, while you're on the site, please be sure and check out our amazing team of blog writers. Subscribe to our newsletter and also check out the weekly videos as well. If you have a question for the show, you can email me, lou@wwradio.com, or a comment, leave a voicemail at 407-900-9391. Please connect with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on the Facebook and the Twitter and the Instagram and the Pinterest, and like the page over at facebook.com/wwradio. And of course, nothing, as you know, beats a handshake and a hug. Please join us for the monthly meetups in Walt Disney World. Going to try and schedule November's, possibly during Destination D in a couple of weeks. And if you can't join us on the cruise next week, hopefully you will join us in 2017 for the Double Dip Cruise and some of the other events we have planned. And see you at D23 Expo as well. I also do a lot of traveling to speak to conferences and to businesses and at schools, and I try and do on-the-road events when I can. And if I can maybe help you by speaking at your event or to your school or working with you or your business, I would love to try and help work with you to get you from where you are to where you want to be. You allow and empower me to do what I love every day, and I would love to try and find ways to do that with you. I will be announcing my next Momentum event in Walt Disney World soon, so stay tuned for that. Thanks, as always, to Becky Mankin. Thanks to Tim from Celebrations Magazine. You can find that over at celebrationspress.com. And thanks to you, because, as always, my friends, and you are my friends, all I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Tell your friends about it. Let others know that you're listening. Tweet out a link to the show. Tag me at Lou Mangiello. Share it on Facebook, even better yet. And please take a minute. Go review the show over in iTunes. Thanks to you, we have more than 1,200 five-star reviews. Would love to keep them coming. Want to thank some recent reviewers like Kate Lincoln, who says, this is my favorite way to get my Disney fix. She's been listening for 4 years, and it's her favorite way. She learns something new every week, and it helps fill the time between the Disney trips. Sincerely, Danny Rose, it's entertaining with lots of fun and information, and Mesmalize is the best Disney World connection besides going there. If you would like to leave a review, you can visit www.radio.com/iTunes. It'll take you right over there, give you instructions on how to do it. And huge thanks to DJ Technoid Ricky Reed for his Boo to You Halloween Tech Mix. You can find that and some of his other remixes over on SoundCloud. A link to his profile in the show notes. And finally, and most importantly, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to tune in, for sharing your time with me, whether you listen at home, at work, in the car, while you're out, wherever it may be. I sincerely, sincerely appreciate, and I am grateful to and for you every day. And in the spirit of the Halloween season, I want you to try and do something today, right now. Do something today that scares you, that frightens you. And I don't mean that something that's scary. Take on a new challenge or set yourself a new goal and resolve to start and, more importantly, finish something that maybe you've been thinking about but you never executed on. And then don't just do it today, but resolve to keep that momentum going and repeat it daily. And at the end of the day, say, all right, you know, today I dared to do X. And if you trust me, I promise that you will be happy that you did. And you will, as Walt said, keep moving forward. I hope that you have the very best week ever, and that every week gets better and better. Thank you so very much. So until next time, see ya.
Hey, Lou, I was listening to an older show, the Top 10 Walt Disney World Wishes. I just got to it the other day, so I know I'm a little late with my voicemail. But my name's Josh, by the way, from Ohio, and I had this thought when you were talking about the attraction-themed hotels and which attractions would you like to see become a hotel room, you know, a really detailed themed hotel room and stuff. And I was thinking it's kind of funny to think about almost the opposite. Which would be the most horrible hotel rooms to see, attractions to see as a hotel room? Like, the first thing that came into my mind was the Great Movie Ride, and specifically the alien scene, and just this idea that there would be a room that would be so terrifying that while you slept, at some time to time, you really didn't know when it would be, but from the ceiling would come a bunch of fog, and the alien creature would come down over your bed. That would just be like the most terrifying room of all time. You never knew when it was going to come, but you knew sometime during the night you'd hear a loud noise and you'd see the alien pop out above your bed. You know, so I think it would be funny to hear some people's ideas or your ideas of what would be the worst attraction to see as a hotel room, kind of like that idea, just for different reasons. All right, hey, keep up the good work, and we'll hear from you soon. Thanks.
Hi, Lou. It's Doug again from Scottsdale. Remember the last question that you asked, and that's it. Where would you take Walt if you could take him anywhere to eat? And ours is would be Blue Bayou in Disneyland, because it ties in so many things. It's our favorite, my family's favorite place to eat. And I know that he really enjoyed Pirates of the Caribbean ride. It's one of our favorite rides, and really enjoyed Hill of Memorial Square. That was personal to him. And I think Blue Bayou would be a spectacular place to have 6 hours with Walt Disney. Thanks, Mike.
Hi, Lou. This is Autumn calling. I'm from St. Louis. I just got done listening to the the Fact or Fiction podcast, and I loved it, especially when you guys were talking about the superstars of television. I've only been to Walt Disney World once, and that was when I was 10 years old back in 1995. And I actually got to be on Superstars of Television, and I was part of the moon landing one, which was really fun. I think my parents still have a video of that somewhere. But I'm really excited to say that I convinced my husband to take a belated honeymoon to Walt Disney World next January, starting the 23rd. So we're really excited. So I have to say thank you to him for making my dreams come true. So your podcasts are always wonderful, amazing, inspiring. You know they're great. We love them. So anyway, thank you so much, and hope to see you in the world in January.
Mr. Mongello, Robert Canciola out here in California. I hope all is well. Keep up the great work. You know, I'm referencing show number 460 in regards to moments that, you know, we would have loved to have been witness to or been a part of. And I assume you're going to just get countless voicemails on this, because, I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of all of those monumental moments in Disney history, especially being there with Walt, seeing how he operates the studios, working with his brother Roy, who I don't think gets a fair amount of credit that he deserves, because without Roy, I don't think the Disney company would be anywhere near what they were able to take it to, and kudos to him. And I would love to, you know, see how those two got along with each other all of the time. But one key area that I think, or one key moment that I think stuck out for me, and I'm surprised wasn't mentioned on the show, is the 1948 trip that both he and Ward Kimball took out to, or I'm sorry, that both Walt Disney and Ward Kimball took out to both the Chicago Railroad Fair as well as Greenfield Village, and how much of an impact that had on the ultimate design and conceptualizing Disney and Disneyland out here in Anaheim and going forward as well. I mean, with the New Orleans section and the Indian Village and the Frontier section, and then stopping at the Greenfield Village with Henry Ford's Greenfield Village, and having the old Main Street design and so on. I think being able to experience that and just being able to witness how Walt was absorbing that all up like a sponge, and then how that ultimately then panned out to being his ideas for Disneyland as a whole. So anyway, that's one of the areas or one of the moments in time that I think I would have loved to have been a part of and experienced with them. Hope all is well. Keep up the great work, and see you next summer for the Double Dip.
You got a friend in me. Yeah. My monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
WML 95. BJ Hicks and DJ Techno in 2015.
Hurry back. Hurry back. Be sure to bring your death certificate if you decide to join us. Make final arrangements now. We've been dying to have you.